the fifth book of Moses is Deuteronomy. The key word there in the book of Deuteronomy is remember. And God's speech at the end of the 40th year, when you come to the book of Deuteronomy, God has given us the second law, and he's speaking to us in his word. And when we go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, and he tells us, who may enter into the congregation? Who may enter into the congregation? And uncleanness is to be avoided in the host of the Lord. And we look at verse 5. The Bible said, well, let's back up the last half of verse 4. They hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Now drop down to verse 14. The Bible said, for the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. Brother Darrell, lead us in prayer, please. Pray with us together. Oh God, we bless the name of Jesus. We bless the name of Jesus this night. Oh God, Jesus. Oh God, my Lord and my God. Oh, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. Hallelujah. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. I want to preach tonight on the blessing of having the Lord walking in the camp. The Lord walking in the camp. How many wants to walk by yourself? How many wants to walk alone? How many wants to walk in darkness? Man, I'm telling you what, but to have the blessing of the Lord walking in the camp. The Bible said in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12, I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. What a blessing for the Lord God to say, I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. You understand that tonight? With this building, as beautiful as it is, and I love the way that you keep your place immaculate. I don't like to see a church that's run down and... You understand? I don't like to see that. I like what I see here. All right. But here... What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? This is not the temple. This is a building where the church comes to worship, because you are the church. You are the temple of the living God. This is just a building without you. You are the church. Now, listen. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Oh, what a blessing to have the Lord to walk in the camp. What a blessing to have the Lord to walk in our camp. And then when you look at Deuteronomy 23, and you look at how restrictive it was to be able to come into the sanctuary of the Lord. You start at verse 1, you come up through there, all the qualifications it took for you to minister into the sanctuary. And so the regulations of the right of citizenship in the congregation of the Lord is defined explicitly, and to keep the camp free from every defilement. And the reason why, because the Lord, we cannot have any defilement in our camp, because the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of the camp, and he will not tolerate filth, and he will not walk into a camp, into a place where there is filth. Hallelujah. So you look at the sanitation laws that God's given here, and the official qualifications to be able to go into the sanctuary of the Lord. You know, when we look at, in history, the Jews have been blamed for so many things. And they obeyed the sanitation laws. When we were in Europe in the Dark Ages, we had open sewers running down the middle of our streets, and we had the bubonic plague and the black plague and all those plagues that nearly wiped out the populations of Europe because we didn't understand disease and sanitation. But the Word of God has it all laid out in it. And the Jews have kept the five books of Moses, and they kept the laws of sanitation. They kept the laws of cleanliness. And so when those plagues, the bubonic plague and the black plague, from the lice and from the fleas and the ticks and all that stuff, that people were living in filth, those plagues come upon all those people. But in the Jewish quarters, in the Jewish community, there was none of those diseases that happened to those people. And so, you know what they did? They accused the Jews of sending the plague. And there was no disease in their camp. I want to tell you, it's just like it was in Egypt. The children of Israel had light in their dwellings, and all of the heathen of Egypt had darkness. I'm so glad that we can have the Lord to walk in our camp. We can have the blessing of the Lord to come upon us. Woo, hallelujah. We get this. God especially instructs us about our moral purity. We've got a generation that do not want to hear you talking about moral purity. Oh, but I'm telling you, if we want God to walk in our camp, if we want the blessing of the Lord, we've got to have a clean camp for the Lord to come and dwell in our camp. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I want to show you something. The way God instructs, it shows the goodness and the tenderness of the Lord. And God takes detailed knowledge of everything. The things that we think are not important, God takes detailed knowledge of it. And I want you to understand the delicacy and the propriety and the consideration for others. Sensitiveness. Oh, yes. Listen to me. If God wants brutality and all of those things removed from our lives. He spoke to them about all of those things, about slavery. Here he talks to them in this chapter. You don't, if a slave comes to you, you don't put that slave back into bondage, and you keep them free. I'm so glad that God is a God of mercy and holiness, and he wants to walk in our camp. And he said, I'll walk amongst you, I'll be your God, and you can be my people. Man. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. I want you to get this. He said, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Milk and honey. And you say, how would they use this illustration when he would say a land flowing with milk and honey? Because a honeybee is not kosher according to the law. And yet the honey, the product of the bee, is clean. It is kosher according to the law. And so they said, you go through that name. That bee, it means Deborah. And it's a girl's name. But it tells you this. A bee sting is painful, but the honey is sweet. And if you and I live for God, We can have the sweetness of life, but if we fail to obey God and live for God, we're going to get the sting and the pain of life. Oh, the blessing of having the Lord walking in the camp. I'm gonna try to preach to you here if you'll help me, and the Lord will help me. Listen. The Bible said in Genesis 3:8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Woo! Amen. We're here in the cool of the day at Bethany Church, and we are wanting to hear the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord comes walking in the midst of the camp in the cool of the day. Ah, yes. But I want you to notice what happened. The Bible said Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. How sad it is. How sad it is, because sin caused them to hide from the only help that there was for them. You think on it. Think about this. Sin caused these people to hide from the help. Oh, Lord, we have hundreds and thousands of people here in this area. They desperately need God. They desperately need God's help. There is darkness around them. They are in such a shape, but they've forgotten one thing. They need the Lord to be walking in their camp. They need the help of heaven, and the Lord will not walk where there is filthiness. Glory. Glory. And so they hid from the presence of the Lord. Man, do you want the presence of the Lord taken away from you? Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. But the Bible said in Genesis 17:1, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Oh, glory. There is a blessing to be able to walk before God, to live before God, to where He can walk in your camp, He can walk in your home, and you can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. You know, we kept my mother-in-law in our home for about 3.5 years. There was a lady, one of the caregivers came, and she said, I love coming here. Oh, she would go to all these different homes. She said, I love coming here. She said, I love coming to this place. She said, I can feel peace in this place. She said, I can feel the purity of the Lord in this place. Oh, she said, I can just sit here with your mother-in-law, and I can feel the presence of the Lord. Oh, what a blessing to have the Lord to walk in your camp, to have the Spirit of God to come and walk amongst you. Hallelujah. 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 I want us to look and see. Amen. The scripture said in Ephesians 5:8, you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We don't have to walk in the darkness of Egypt. We don't have to walk in the darkness of sin. We don't have to walk in the filth and the degradation of this world. We can walk in the light of the Lord's presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man. Ooh, to have the Lord with you. The brother you were talking about those people giving the Bible to that Muslim man. There was a missionary went into China, and there he was preaching to those Chinese people, and they got upset with him, and they got their spears and started chasing him. So he started running. He knew it was run now or not be able to run anymore. And so he saw a passenger boat pulling out. And so he ran and jumped on that passenger boat. And they didn't get away from the shore soon enough. And all of that mob of people was chasing him, got on the boat too. You know what he had to do? He jumped in the river. They started throwing their spears at him, and he had to dive under the boat.
And every time he'd come up over here, they'd throw a spear at him. He'd come up over here, they'd throw a spear at him. And after all of that, he survived. He got back and he was telling his experience. One man said, "Hey, brother," he said, "what scripture did the Lord give you that you were able to survive that?" He said, "Scripture? Scripture, nothing." He said, "The Lord himself was with me in that river." Woo! I'm telling you, you'll be glad for the Lord to walk in your camp. You'll be glad for the presence of the Lord to keep you and to shield you. The blessing of the Lord walking in your camp. Man, I'm telling you, it's something when the Lord walks in your midst, when the Lord comes there. Amen. You don't have to walk in darkness and evil. Woo. I came home, mother and dad was out preaching, and I was an older teenager, and I'd slipped off to the neighbors to watch TV, and it was late at night, and I came home, and our garage door was up, and I come around the corner of the house to our garage, and all of a sudden, I met a man, Sister April. He had a black trench coat on and a big black hat and gloves, and we hit almost face to face, and there I am in my home, and there that dark figure met me. Ooh, I'm telling you what, you talk about a fearful thing. And the only thing, I scared him as much as he scared me. I heard him say, and he took off running and ran out of there. Oh, I was glad for mother and dad to get home that night. I was glad I lived in a homeless preacher's home. I was glad that the presence of the Lord, that man had been in our home. I don't know what he was doing, but I'm telling you, the blessing of having the Lord walking in your camp. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, amen. You mentioned the roses. You mentioned the roses are blooming again. Both of you talked about the roses. I'm telling you, I read of Dr. Charles Weigel, who wrote that song, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus." But he was in Pasadena, California at a conference. And so he had some extra time. He decided to go tour the rose gardens. Oh, and he walked up and down those paved areas there. And he looked at all the beautiful roses in Pasadena. And there, you know, they had the Rose Day parade and all of that. And all those beautiful roses. And he was toured all of that. And he went back to the conference that afternoon. And he sat down, took his seat, and there immediately there was one of the men up front and turned around and he said, "I know where you've been today." Amen. Woo. He said, Where have I been?" He said, "You've been in the rose garden." Ooh, you've been in the rose gardens. I want to tell you, when you come to the house of the Lord, it tells on you whether you've been in the rose garden or you've been in the world. I want the blessing of having the Lord walking in my midst. I want the Lord walking in my camp. I want to have the smell of the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star shining on me. How about you? Glory. Oh, you've been in the rose garden. Well, I'm telling you what will make the difference in your home. If you'll go into the rose garden of prayer and seek the face of God. You know, wives, it used to be that program years ago, The Days of Her Life, and there was Hortons on that soap opera there years ago. My grandmother Horton said, "That's like my bunch of Hortons." Amen. Oh, Lord, I'm telling you what. But instead of living in a delusional world, fantasizing about how life ought to be instead of you watching Days of Our Lives. If you'll get in a closet of prayer and meet with Jesus Christ, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, if you'll meet with him in prayer, the Lord will walk amongst you. He'll walk in your camp, and when your husband comes home, it won't be a fight and a fuss, but glory, the blessing of the Lord will be in your camp. The peace of God will be in your home. The rose, let Jesus walk in your camp. Let him walk in your camp. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, Joshua chapter 5. The Bible tells us there in Joshua 5 that you talk about all the 40 years and all of the things. And then the Bible tells us, in verse 10, the children of Israel kept the Passover. But you know what the Lord did? He told them in the first part of Joshua chapter 5. He said, all of the elders that were in the land, they were circumcised. Now we have a new generation that is not circumcised. I tell you. And he said, now we've come into we're getting ready to go into the promised land. It's the 40th anniversary. And we're going in. And he said, we need this young generation to be circumcised. Oh, and they kept the feast of the Passover. And when they went in, I want you to listen to me. I'm telling you what I see needs to happen in my church. Amen. And what needs to happen at Bethany is there. My Lord, I watched Tommy Tolliver, and if I ever met a prince of a Christian man, it's Tommy Tolliver. Oh, and Sister Ethel, so precious. And I want you to know, Sister April, I admire you and Brother Darrell for who you are, but we've got a new generation come on at Bethany, and what we've got to have the presence of the Lord to walk in our midst, and he will not walk where there is filthiness. And so what we have to have is we have to have a new sanctification. We have to have a new circumcision. We have to have our hearts circumcised before the Lord. We must purify our lives. We must keep the feast of the Passover. We must walk circumspectly before God. We must walk pure and holy before his presence. And when they do that, when the children of Israel did that, I want you to look. They circumcised themselves. Then they kept the feast of Passover. And then the Bible said, they, in verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man. There stood a man over against him with his sword drawn. Amen. And he said, Joshua went up to him and he said, are you for us or against us? That's the way they say it up home. Are you for us or against us? Amen. Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Amen. Hallelujah. Whose side are you on? That's the question, Brother Dave. Hallelujah. That's the question. You know, somebody came to Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. And there he walked up to Mr. Lincoln. And he said, Mr. President. Amen. He said, is the Lord on the side of the North? Abraham Lincoln looked at him as only that giant of a hulking man could look down at that man. And he said, sir, I'm not interested on whose side the Lord is on. He said, I want to know whose side I'm on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to be on the Lord's side. Amen. It's important for us tonight, for us, if we want the Lord to walk in our camp, we must be holy. We must be pure. We can have his blessing. Oh, to have the blessing of the Lord to rest on the church and this new generation that's going into the promised land. What I see here is the same thing at my home is One by one, our elders have died off. Amen. And now we've got a new generation. But I want to tell you, I told one of our other churches, one of our churches that's older than our church, one of the original churches, and I told one of the elders there in that church, I said, I look at your church, I come, and I see this. And I said, when Brother Wes and Sister Genevieve, and I begin to go through those people, I said, they're getting old, and when they die off, what is going to happen to this church? Because the rest of the congregation doesn't have a clue about the true worship, about the power of God, and the real power of the Holy Ghost. And they don't have a clue about what is happening. And the only hope that you've got is you better have revival. Guess what? They haven't had revival. Guess what? It's a dead issue. Glory to God. Oh, the blessing of having the Lord walking in the camp. But he won't walk where it's filthy, where it's impure, where it's unclean. He must walk where it is holy. And what we have to see happen at Bethany, what we have to see at Rich Sands Tabernacle, is we've got to have a new generation that will allow themselves to be sanctified. They will allow their hearts to be circumcised. I've got my iPhone 6 Plus. I love it. Amen. The clarity and all of that. Amen. But I'm telling you, if we're not careful, this thing will lead us to an uncircumcised, filthy life. But it's not in this little thing here. There is no piece of equipment that has the ability. This keyboard has no ability to sin. It doesn't have a will. It doesn't have a soul. It doesn't have any way that it can sin. This guitar, amen, you can pick it up and beat it to pieces because somebody played rock and roll on it, but you can play gospel music on it. But this guitar has no ability to sin. It doesn't have a will. It doesn't have a soul. This phone does not have a will and a soul, but you have a will and you have a soul, and the Lord wants to know if you want him to walk in your camp. He wants to know if you want his blessing to rest upon you. He said, I'll be your God. You shall be my people. I'll walk in your midst. But, B-U-T, but there must be purity in the camp if you want the Lord to walk in your midst. Ooh. Ooh. Happy is the man who walks so close to God that there is no room for the devil to get in between you and God. Amen. Can you be the devil for me tonight? You look like a good devil. I love you, man. Amen. You know I love you. I'm teasing you. Amen. Amen. Now I want to get to my friend here. You're going to try to keep me from it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what. I need the presence of my friend. Amen. And blessed is the man that walks so close to the Lord that the devil can't get in between him. Oh yes, I love you. Thank you for helping me. But I want you to look. I want us to see. Here we are. Here we are in the last days. Oh, little, we had Mike and LaDonna Blue for Kids Crusade there right after graduation. He said, now listen real close, little Mary. She's standing over and she moved over beside him. He said, I said, listen real close. And she stepped on closer. And he said, what are you doing? She said, you said, listen real close. And I'm getting as close as I can. I want to tell you, the Lord is speaking tonight. And he says, listen real close. If you want my presence, if you want my blessing, if you want my spirit, if you want my power, listen real close and don't allow any filth in the camp. And I will walk amongst you. I'll walk in your midst. I'll walk in your camp. I'll defeat your enemies. I'll destroy those that come against you. I will help you. I will keep you. I will lead you. I will guide you. Do you know, over in Eastern Kentucky, Brother Sidney Sparks, amen, and his son-in-law and daughter, they lived in a home there close to the church. And she had a newborn baby. And there was an escaped convict got loose and broke into her house. And when they got home from church, he hid behind the couch. They got in late. The husband got up and went to work. And she was laying in bed, amen, with her newborn baby. And that guy had laid there and waited all night long. Hallelujah. He had laid there and waited all night long. Amen. After her husband left for work, she heard somebody walking down the hall. And she thought it was her husband come back for he had forgotten something. And she called his name. He never answered. And the bedroom door opened. And there was a man with a knife and a towel. And he walked into her bedroom. Amen. He walked in. There she is. She's got a newborn baby. She's laying there in the bed. She's absolutely defenseless except for one thing. The Lord walked in the camp. Except the Lord. Oh, what if she had been morally impure? What if she had not been on the guard? What if she had not been living holy? Oh, and there he came, and she said, I raised up. And she said, the Holy Ghost moved on me, and I began to rebuke him and speak in tongues in Jesus' name. And she said, he stood there for a moment, and then she said, I kept on speaking in tongues and rebuking him in the name of the Lord. And he turned and he ran out of her home. Thanks be to God that we have the Lord for our defense, that the Lord will walk in our camp, the Lord will be in our midst, and he'll be our God. And you can be his people. She called 911 and she told the police. She said, there's been a man in my home. He has not hurt me and my baby. Glory to God. He has not hurt us. Amen. No, he hasn't touched us. Amen. And they got the description, and there that guy was a murderer. Oh, God. And I'm telling you what, you can live in sin all you want to. You can live an unsanctified, unholy life all you want to. But you are a casualty in the making. You are a victim. You're ready for front page news because you do not have the Spirit of the Lord to protect you and to shield you. But we've got a God. He'll be our help. He'll be our strength. He'll be our enemies. He'll turn our enemy away. You knew Thomas McCoy. I've known him all of my life, pretty much. Sister Ollie, she was part of the original Hatfield-McCoy feud and clan. But Sister Ollie was a woman of prayer. Tab, his name is Leonard Farrell, but they called him Tab. Tab made a lot of money in mining business, millions. And he sold out and he went to Lexington and bought a big farm. Built a multi-million-dollar home, put a gate up, but never used the gate. And Thomas had a farm, the house next to it. His sister Benita had the next house. You had the other, you had to have 15 acres to build on that side of town. And Sister Ollie came down for Thanksgiving. She said, Leonard Farrell, when she spoke to him, went emphatic, it was Leonard Farrell. Leonard Farrell, the Spirit says, you better get that gate to working. Get that gate fixed. Get that thing to working. You live between exit 110 and 115. You're right next to the Kentucky Horse Park. Anything coming off the interstate can come in here and without notice in a moment's time. And he said, listen to Granny prophesying. She said, Leonard Furrow, I'm telling you, the Spirit said, you better be getting the gate up. I'm telling you, the Spirit says to you tonight, you better be getting your gate up. You better be getting that gate up. You better be putting a stop to some things. You better be keeping your life pure and sanctified, because there's an enemy that seeks to destroy you and your family. Amen. Sister April, a few weeks went by. Sister Ollie would go into her living room there and she'd pray. She started praying, and the spirit of prayer come on her. Now, this woman is in her 80s, okay? The spirit of prayer come on her. She prayed for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. She prayed till after midnight. She prayed 1, 2, 3, 4. She prayed all night long. Amen. And she said the Holy Ghost dealt with her. About the farm, pray for the farm. Pray for the farm. Pray for Leonard and the family. Pray for them at the farm. And she prayed and prayed and prayed till she felt like at the rising of the sun that she prayed through. Amen. Benita's oldest child, everybody was gone. Benita was there in the kitchen peeling potatoes, getting ready to fix lunch. It's mid-morning. The oldest one had gone to school, and her little one was there in the house. And all of a sudden, there was a man, a 6'7" black man, opened the door and walked. He had pulled his van up into her. She had the garage door up. He pulled his van right into her garage, walked right into her kitchen. And she said, I was standing there at the sink peeling potatoes. And she said, I turned around. She said, what are you doing here? Amen. What are you doing here? Amen. And he stood there for just a minute. And all of a sudden, he turned, and that's all she said to him, what are you doing here? He turned and ran out the door, got in his van, and took off. He took off, and there he was. And she called 911, just like Sister Barrett did. And there, oh, God, I'm telling you, there it was. The Spirit of God had kept her. And so she called, and she said, it's just me and my little girl here. We're safe, but there was a man coming to my house, and he's turned and left and run out. And she got the tag number off his van. She called, and there was a policeman, a county sheriff, saw him and started chasing him. They had the awfulest time getting that guy to stop. They had to put those strips out, flatten his tires. He come out fighting. They had one more time. This guy was a drug dealer. He was a convicted murderer. Amen. And so they took him down, and they got a statement from him. And so the investigator called back, and he said, now, Benita, tell me what happened again. She said, I was standing at the sink. I was peeling potatoes. This man walked in, and I said to him, what are you doing here? And he stood there for just a minute, and he turned around, and he took off running, got in his van, and left. And he never bothered us in any way. And he said, are you sure it was just you and your little girl there? She said, yes, I'm sure. Amen. He said, let me read you his statement. He said, I pulled up into the garage. The garage door was up. I opened the door and walked into the kitchen. And she was standing there peeling potatoes. And the little child was there in the kitchen with her. And he said, all of a sudden, three of the biggest men I ever laid eyes on walked out of that dining room. I said, walk out of the dining room. Walk out of the dining room. And he said, I was glad to get out of there. Woo! I'm telling you, if you'll live right before God, the devil will be glad to get out of your presence. He'll be glad to get out of your home. He'll be glad to leave you alone. Stand with me, please.
Shume kata yundushinata. Shume urabahito
Hallelujah. If you'll live a life that is holy and godly before the Lord God, you are invincible and untouchable. But if you live a lukewarm half life, you are a victim getting ready to happen. Oh, the blessing of having the Lord walking in your camp. I tried to preach at Blanchard today. I told Brother Darrell, asked me about what some of the things I preach. He said, you're welcome to preach that. But if I ask God to deal with me for the need of Bethany wholeness, what I preached at Blanchard is what Blanchard need to hear. What does Bethany wholeness need to hear? Amen. What does Brother Darrell need as the pastor to help his people? What does Sister April need as the pastor's wife to help the people? What do we need? Amen. And the Lord dealt with me. Something I preached a few weeks back. Amen. Hallelujah. Whoa. The blessing of the Lord walking in the camp. He will not walk where it is unclean. Bow your heads, please. Bow your heads. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Lord, Lord, you see this people. You see this young generation that's coming on at Bethany. Lord, they need an experience like Brother Tommy's had, like Sister Ethel's had. They need the experience of the old-fashioned Holy Ghost in their life. They need to know your spirit and your power and presence. But Lord, they must be convicted in their hearts and minds that they cannot live like this world. They cannot allow the impurity of this world in their hearts and lives. God, deal with them. That they will sanctify their lives. Their lives will be circumcised before your presence. Oh God, that their lives will be purified. They'll keep the Passover. They'll walk godly before you. Oh, hallelujah. They'll walk in your presence pleasing and acceptable. Oh God. Martin Luther said, peace if possible, but purity at all costs. Purity at all costs. Whatever we must do, we must be pure. I beg you, Lord, for this young generation. I beg you for the youth of this church. I beg you for the future of this church and this people, Lord, that they will be pure and holy before you so that you can walk in their midst and you can be their God. They can be your people, and you will shield them, and you will destroy the enemy that's come against them. Oh God, in Jesus' name, come around these altars. We need a new sanctification here tonight. We need a new sanctification. We need a new consecration. We need a new dedication. We need a new experience. We need a greater experience. We need the touch of heaven. We need the help of heaven. Hallelujah. 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 Lada bekeso na ra ya ya kono mai yo to ne heta na. Sino kono sino kane yo to ba sa ba. Sino kala si to kono bo ho dia ha na. Ne ne yo kono ba ha na.